Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello everyone and welcome to a very special edition of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host Stevie Fears and today I'll be bringing you the best and fairest pod. That is right, the Fantasy Best and Fairest Show, where we bring on some of the biggest names in the fantasy footy community to bring you the one player they think is going to be a league winner, the difference maker for you and your draft team. The other boys aren't here because, quite frankly, we've had a big preseason and things have gone a little bit haywire. So look, if you've already drafted, see if you've got a couple of these players and feel good about yourself. If you've yet to draft, hey, maybe you can pick up some great value there. Maybe you can swing a trade. Certainly an interesting time for fantasy footy and real footy, of course, with the coronavirus. Crazy to think that that's in the range of outcomes for 2020, but here we are. And the AFL, of course, have said they're going to play round one with empty stadiums and then make a decision. We'll wait and see what happens with that. It's certainly interesting, and if you haven't drafted, I'll be interested to hear from you guys and girls where the players who are injured go in your drafts, whether they get a little bump up or whether they stay where they are. Certainly some interesting thoughts floating around on guys like Ollie Wines, who maybe if they miss the first five rounds, they're actually coming back in round two. So very interesting times there. Of course, you can hit us up at the Draft Doctors on Twitter, at the Draft Doctors. We're on the Instagram, the Draft Doctors. We're on the Facebook, the Draft Doctors. Pretty good hashtag brand we got going there. Got the draft kit. Thanks everyone who supported us by purchasing that. We hope you found it plentiful and good and helped you build a great draft team. And of course, the mock draft simulator, which we hope will be bigger and better next year. And of course, thanks for practicing all your drafts there. And of course, those who supported us, you make it so we can keep innovating and keep bringing new products to the fantasy football world, new tools, things like that that maybe aren't here just yet. So, like I said, man, we got some of the best fantasy footy people going around to do a bit for us. And let's kick it off with the absolute GOAT. There's no one better. He's been super great to us. Actually, the whole DT Talk boys have been great to us, but Warney, he's the man. We thank him so much for his help over the years and sharing our content. And we love him. And let's hear who he's got to say is going to help you win your league.
G'day, Draft Doctors and listeners. This is Warney here from the Traders. And for this fantasy BNF pod, I thought that I'd be looking at a forward because after drafting a couple of times in recent weeks, I've been shafted by the forwards and, you know, to the point that I've been bent over backwards and shoved a Brad Ebert into me. But anyway, as F1, not cool. Anyway, I'm going to be looking at, well, first, actually, I looked at my contract and it said I have to talk about Tom Rockliffe at every possible opportunity. And that is what I'm doing today because the bloke has an ADP, probably the lowest ever, of 66. And that's sitting in Ultimate Footy. I think it's 65 in AFL Fantasy Draft. So I think that is super value. I've actually drafted him a couple of times in the 50s, so this is why I'm looking at him as, and I think that's super value. But basically, off that 99.3 average, he did still show his ceiling. 166 in round one, that was huge. Mid-season, he pumped out a 149, and then there was that 150 that he had that came off the back of that 200-point game in the Sandful. Ken Hinckley, he started oinking at him at training before and after games. He knows what a pig is, and that's what he wants to do because those recent comments from Rocky where he said that he's basically going to be an inside midfielder playing 85% time on ground, then rotating to the bench, that's got to have massive ticks next to his name because he spent a lot of time forward in the first two seasons there at the Power. And I think that even though the Power have been very much fantasy killers over the last few years, I think things might be changing. I'm fingers crossed it's going to be all good for our beloved pig. I'm just very keen to draft him anywhere in the 40s or 50s. So if you're getting him as a fourth or fifth round pick, then he is massive value because you take out some of those poor scores, like an injured 43 from last year, that average gets into the hundreds, and I think that we'll be able to see a lot more from him. His shoulder surgery, he tells me that he is absolutely fixed now. I have heard that before from him in our D&M texts that we have every now and then, but I think that I am backing the pig in, and he's back into triple figures. He will be mid-105, even up to 110 this year, because the role's going to suit him and he's going to be absolutely set. And Ken Hinckley wants the pig tackling and taking those plus six marks and kicks behind the ball. I love it. Love your work, boys. Talk to you soon.
And what an on-brand pick. Rocky, he's certainly going later in drafts than ever before. I can't hate it. I've picked him up in a couple drafts myself. You never feel super great, but if he's your M5, M4 sort of pick, man, there's a lot of upside there. Absolutely love the pick. And when we're talking AFL fantasy, we've got to be talking someone who beat the Statesman by two places one year, but he's the back-to-back winner of AFL fantasy. Took a year off last year, and in amazing scenes, it looks like he's playing this year in the AFL fantasy. And of course, I'm talking about Selby Lee Steer. Marrera's Magic. Sorry, just the Twitter handle for Warnie's at WarnieDT if you've been living on the moon. Selby's at Marrera's Magic. That's Moreira's Magic on the Twitters. Let's who the great man thinks is a difference maker in your draft league.
G'day, it's Selby here, coach of Marrera's Magic, and I'm here for the Draft Doctors BNF pod to pick a player in the comp who could be a difference maker for your draft league this year. And the player I'll pick, it's a bit ironic actually being a difference maker given he's quite a boring, forgotten about player, and that is Matt Crouch. I say boring, but I actually like my fantasy mids being boring, winning a lot of their possessions contested, tackle well, and because they are not a sexy player in both real life and in fantasy, quite often they avoid the tag, and it helps given that he's not the most polished by foot too. So opposition coaches tend to just let him run around, get his 30, 35 touches a week. And us as coaches can sit back and relax rather than looking up, waiting for the threat of the tag. So a few things on Matty Crouch. He had a bit of a slow start to last year. And with that, people have kind of put a line through him. But he's still young. He finished the year, the last five games of the year, he was ranked number two amongst mids for points in AFL fantasy, and across the full year, he was ranked number two for mids on a point per minute basis. With a new coach coming in, who knows, we might see a different structure in terms of the rotations, might see some more game time for both he and Brad, who typically have lower game time than other mids of the comp. So bit of an uptick in game time. I can see him being a top handful of mids in the comp, and you're looking at some drafts and some ADPs. Matty seems to be going in the pick 30s and 15th to 20th even midfielder going off the board. So the reason why he can be a difference maker, you can pick him up in the third, fourth round after nailing a pretty handy forward or back with your first couple of selections, and then getting in a mid who I believe will be competitive with those going in the early picks of drafts. So anyway, all the best for your draft, and cheers for having us on.
I really like this pick. He's kind of got that Bryce Gibbs feel to him. I think he's a great scorer, but for some reason coaches aren't in love with Matt Crouch this year. So certainly he's going later than he's gone in the last few years, but he could be a massive value. He's probably your M2. Or if you happen to go, you know, maybe Brody Grundy at pick one, he could be your M1 at the back of the second round. Look, it's a great pick. He's going in a lot of different spots in leagues. So I really love the pick. And that could be an absolute cracker. Going to kick it over to Archie from the Over the Line Sports. He's at OTLS Archie on Twitter. Been one of our supporters since we started. Me and Jono, when we started the pod, I think this is our fifth season. So when we started, Archie was one of the dudes who was really nice to us. So really respect him. He's been so great over the journey. A lot of fun, good dude. Always seem to end up in mock drafts with him. So make sure you give him a shout out and support their pod. So let's hear who he brings to the table.
Thanks to the Draft Doctors for having me on again for season 2020. Now, we all know about the much-vaunted GWS midfield. Everyone knows the value of Cornelio, of Kelly, Whitfield and Taranto. They'll go high in drafts and look deservedly so. The GWS player I want to talk about will not be mentioned in the same breath as these guys, but look, he's not too far behind. Jacob Hopper is heading into his fifth AFL season and coming off his best scoring season of his career. He averaged 93 fantasy points in 2019, which was up from 78 in 2018. This includes 9 100-plus scores. Now, don't get me wrong, the reason he's not talked about in the same vein as the others is his floor. He had 2 scores last season in the 50s, and that really dragged his average down. A lot of the talk this preseason is that he will be affected negatively when all 4 of the big guns are in the team. So I had a look at the track record. In 2019, he actually averaged 94 fantasy points in the games where the other 4 played. So he actually scores more, albeit slightly, with a full team around him. Just for the record, his best scoring is actually when only 2 of the big 4 are playing. He averaged 101 in the 4 games where that happened, and I did include Cogs's game where he got 0 in that one. Now, let's look at his ADP. In Ultimate Footy, his current ADP is 83. In AFL Fantasy, it's 91. And on the best drafting platform, the Draft Doctor's Mock Draft Simulator, of course, he is currently at an average draft position of 101. Now, if you can pick up this guy in round 9 or beyond, you'd have to be pretty ecstatic with that. He's slipping because people don't think he can score with the other guys on the team. But as I've just demonstrated, that's not the case. What I will say is he will blow the 2 guys out of the water that are being drafted at 102 and 103 in the ADP on the simulator. A couple of blokes by the name of McCluggage and Fiorini. Thanks again, guys, and good luck for this season. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at OTLSArchie and check out our website at overthelinesports.com.au. And go Dom Sheep.
Yeah, I like the pick. He was someone I was really down on at the start of the year with all the GWS mids coming back, but with Ward taking a bit of time, with Taranto being injured, I've had to shift Hopper up the draft board, so I really like the pick. He's certainly going to provide some good value. It'd be interesting to see where he goes because he's probably on a lot of ranked very differently for a lot of people, so definitely like that pick. He's a solid pick. We're going to kick it over to Hef from the Keeper League podcast. He's at Hef_KL on the Twitters. And I really like these guys. They came onto the scene a couple of years ago. I think they do fantastic work. They've got a lot of products. They put out some good content. They're trying to innovate in a way I really respect. So shout out to them. They've been good dudes the whole way. And I think they keep Dossie out of trouble over in Adelaide a little bit as well. So that's good. So let's hear what Hef's got to say. It's a bit of keeper flavour, I'm sure. So let's go.
G'day, listeners. Hef here from the Keeper League podcast, joining you on the Draft Doctors podcast this week for their BNF show. First of all, thanks to the Draft Doctors for allowing me to be on the BNF show. I've been a long-time listener of the podcast, and yeah, it's a bit of an honour to be here. Now, I'm going to talk about a player that I think will bring value to draft leagues, and I'm going to give it a bit of a Keeper League flavour, a guy who's going to be very relevant in Keeper Leagues this year if he's available to snap up in your draft. So I'm going to be talking about Jaden Shaw. So this guy was touted as a breakout candidate last year by all the fantasy podcasts out there. Everyone seemed to think he was going to come on in a big way last season, become one of those fantasy superstars, but it didn't come to fruition. So before we talk about what's going to happen this year, let's, cut back to this time last year. So he'd just come off the 2018 season. He was one of the probably most improved players in that year, at least for Richmond anyway. He was winning his own footy. He was starting to intercept, and he actually looked like like a fantasy player. He averaged about 75 for the season on from memory. So he seemed like all systems were go. So coming into 2019, he started off like a house on fire, really, for Jaden Short anyway. He started with a score of 83 and then had a 75 after that, which were pretty reasonable numbers for a younger defender. But then injury struck and he was injured in round three and then missed 11 games. So coming back in round 14, look, he started well when he came back, but then was pretty inconsistent for the remainder of the season. So the injury really affected him there, I think. It caused him to be behind the eight ball for a lot of the season in terms of fitness and just his overall performances. So looking at his season last year, he averaged 70.4, but that included an injury-affected game of three in there. So if you take that out, it becomes 76. So that's actually an improvement on his 2018 season there. If we look at his last 10 games, now this includes finals, there's a 73 average there from his last 10 games. And this included a top score of 106 in round 19 versus Collingwood. Just looking at the season overall, he went 8 games where he scored above 70 last season. So in keeper leagues, because you're often drafting, I guess, really down the bottom of the barrel, a guy that can average 70 per week, it becomes pretty valuable when you come to your fifth defender on the field and things like that. So if you've got a player that has a pretty high floor like Jaden Short does, you know, averaging 70 most weeks, he's going to be pretty handy for your keeper league sides and also fantasy sides in general. Look, the issue with Short last year was when he went low, he really went low. So he had a few scores in the 40s here and there, which wasn't really pretty for his fantasy scoring. But I put that down to the injury mid-year and yeah, just lacking a bit of fitness in a few games and just running out of steam at times. But looking at his overall game, he's a perfect fantasy defender, and that's because he's horrible at defending. He's awesome on the attack, and he looks like a player that Richmond really want to use the ball with, and yeah, they want the ball in his hands. So the good thing about Short, and in keeper leagues in particular, he'll shine when Hooley retires. So with Ellis gone now, he could step up his game this season, but when Bashir Hooley retires, most likely at the end of this season, we reckon he's going to be the number one, I guess, defender to move the ball out of Richmond's defence for many years to come. So yeah, he's definitely worth a look at in all fantasy draft formats, and yeah, he's my player for the BNF show that I think will provide a lot of value in draft leagues this year. So thanks for listening to my little spiel. Again, my name's Hef and I'm from the Keeper League podcast. We're an AFL fantasy podcast that doesn't focus on the superstars. We focus on the lesser known guys, the guys at the bottom of the barrel and the guys that are going to make the most difference in your draft Keeper League. So you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Keeper League Pod. Also head to our website keeperleaguepod.com.au and check out some of our great AFL fantasy resources. Thanks again to the Draft Doctors and enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah, look, really savvy. Always looking ahead in your keeper leagues as to who's going to be the beneficiary. You know, from if you've been listening to the Draft Doctors pod, I'm really big on internal competition. Man, if Hooley retires in a year or two, man, Jaden Short is going to just, his stocks are going through the roof. That's a hell of a pick. He's certainly a post-hype sleeper, someone everyone was on last year. Obviously had the elbow injury, and he's going far later for really no good reason, and you consider Ellis is out of that team as well. So certainly a bit of uncontested pill to go around. Let's kick it over to the Extended Bench. Guys doing great work at the Extended Bench AU on the Twitters. Check out their stuff. Great podcast. Really smooth. Well put together show. So let's hear who they've got for 2020 as a breakout, or not a breakout, but a best and fairest sort of guy.
G'day guys and girls, this is Matt and Christian from the Extended Bench podcast. A big thanks to the guys over at the Draft Doctors for letting us on their best and fairest podcast for 2020. Matt, how you doing today, mate?
I am great, happy to be here. I won't waste any more of our time let's do this.
We're getting straight into someone that we think is going to be the MVP for your draft team this year. Now, obviously, we could just sit here and point out some of the top-end players that you're going to get around about round one or two, but I think that's a little bit of a cop-out. We're looking for the guy who's going to fall down a little bit with their average draft position, and you can take somewhere, you know, a little bit later, and their score for the year is going to absolutely astound you. So we had a look through the lists, we had a look through the draft rankings, and we think that guy for 2020 is going to be Connor Blakely. Freo defender, now this guy is primed for a big 2020. Matt, I'll let you take us through the stats.
Alrighty, so obviously he didn't play a huge amount last year. 12 months ago, he was one of the hype players for the preseason. But looking at his numbers over the last 4 years, 2016, 15 games at 75.1 average. 2017, 17 games at a 91.8 average.
Fantastic.
2018, 13 games at a 91.5 average. And then last year, 14 games at a measly 74.8. Hence the fact no one's talking about him.
Exactly. He's ranked really low at the moment. We're looking at average draft position at the moment on the Draft Doctors mock website. Everyone should be going and checking that out, by the way, in the preseason. Of 114. So he's falling behind the likes of Michael Hurley, Braden Maynard, Callum Mills, and he will absolutely dominate these guys this year.
At the very least, he has way more upside than any of them. I mean, those two good years that I spoke about earlier, he had in 2017 six scores of greater than 110, including a 135, a 139, and a 149. And then in 2018, he had five scores above 110. So he's already shown he's got a good ceiling. And playing as a defender, that's just awesome.
Yeah,
exactly what you're after.
I think the big thing for me as well is opportunity here this year. So we've got to talk about the fact that Fremantle really have a bit of a decimated midfield. So they've got Nat Fyfe in there, obviously the captain, the leader. We've got Michael Walters, who's going to be floating in and out of the forward line as well. But then there's just the youngsters. So you're looking at people like Andy Brayshaw, 21 years old. You're looking at Chera. Akers and Aish have just been bought over, and they're at best role players. You've got Mundy, who's injured to start the year. Hill is gone. And Tucker, well, he's more of a wingman, realistically, than an inside mid. Yeah. And look, I think the role is definitely there for him to step up and be an inside midfielder this year.
Add to that too, they got Hayden Young in the draft just gone, who is a must-start draftee in defence. So with Young, with Wilson, and with Ryan off halfback, they don't really need him back there right now.
No, they
but
don't.
They do need some more grunt in the midfield. New coach as well. So, awesome opportunity. We don't know exactly how they're going to set up and play this year, but I'd be shocked if Blakely isn't given more midfield minutes.
Absolutely. So, it's, as always, a wait and watch to see what happens on the injury front. He has had a bit of a soft body in the past, but if he can keep those injuries at bay, I think he's going to be an absolute gun for your draft team this year. Don't be afraid to reach a little bit earlier, because you are going to be rewarded.
Worst case scenario, you get a defender who's probably going to average 85, and you'll get him after a bunch of other guys around the same mark.
With the upside of possibly a 90 to 95 average, which would be amazing. Thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to grab Blakely a little bit earlier, and don't forget to check us out at extendedbenchau on Twitter. Let's throw it back to the Draft Doctors.
Connor. Look, he's going later than ever before, but man, look, this is where it can pay off, isn't it? One of those boom-bust players. You certainly don't want your whole team full of them. New coach, could be a new role. Who knows? We've seen him score in the past, so that'll be interesting, man. He's an interesting player, Connor Blakely, that's for sure. So when we put out the call on the socials for suggestions as to who you wanted to hear on the BNF podcast, we got a lot of calls, and some of the people, they ran out of time. Look, it's a busy off season. Not everyone got in. But one of the pods I hadn't heard myself personally was the Listics AFL podcast. Despite following them, Dossie's massive fan. So I went and checked out the pod, and it's in the subscribe list now. I'll put it that way. It was that good. Really, really enjoyed it. So certainly worth a follow. I really enjoyed it, and there was a lot of good takeaways from the podcast. So John from Listics, we're really, really fortunate he was able to come on the show and drop a bit for us. So the Listics boys are at Listics AFL on the Twitters. Certainly give them a follow. Give the podcast a listen. It's really, really good stuff. Bit different to just the usual fantasy talk, so certainly worth checking out. I really enjoyed it. And let's hear what they got to say.
Hey, it's John from the Listics AFL podcast here. Thanks, Draft Doctors, for having us on the episode, and for whoever it was that said that they wouldn't mind hearing from us. I guess the biggest difference maker for us is somebody like probably a Clayton Oliver. He's a favorite of the podcast. Sean loves him because he's a Melbourne man, but for me, he's someone that plays 22 games, which is massive, and he's someone that is already shown in a short career that he's durable, plays through pain, and is able to score well. Even coming off a double shoulder reco, he averaged 109 and played 22 games, which is enough to outperform a lot of the players that scored even better than him, but may have played 16 games, someone like a Whitfield, Josh Kelly types, and those guys are probably going to go earlier than him in a draft as well. In a draft format, don't sort of discount playing 22 games and how important that is. You look at somebody like Lachie Neal, who was a staple of a lot of sides for a long time, averaging somewhere between 104 and 113. Well, this guy, Clayton Oliver, has averaged between, since he reached the same premium level, he's averaged between 109 and 115. So his ceiling over a short period of time has actually been better. And I'd say he's probably more likely to rebound and come back up to maybe around the 113 to 115 mark this year, play 22 games. Lachie Neal is someone who's obviously averaged 121 last year, which was huge, but I'd say he's more likely to regress down to that mark. So if you can, you're probably just as likely to get as good a player when you get Clayton Oliver as you are when you get Lachie Neal, and you can probably go a little bit later in the round as well. So if you've got to pick somewhere between, I don't know, 8 and 15, especially if you're in a snaking draft, which is going to bounce back the other way, try to get Clayton Oliver with either the first pick of the second round, if you can, or that last few picks of that first round. Most people probably have him, as I said, after 8, after that they have the big players go. I don't have Lachie Neal in my top 6 at the moment. I've got him just outside of there next to Clayton Oliver. But guys like Grundy, Gawn, McRae, probably 5, Cripps, and then maybe Dangerfield or Whitfield are probably going to go around that top 7 mark. And then your Kelly, Bont, Neal types are coming after that. So for me, I'd be looking at someone like an Oliver in the same mix as somebody like a Bont. Oliver's scores most years have been better than Bont's. And I think that he'd probably rebound to be around that mark again. And yeah, I think that he's just a really solid player. And as I said, 22 games makes a massive difference. So I hope that's helpful. And yeah, I look forward to seeing some of your teams. And if you are interested in following the Listics AFL podcast, that is LYSTICS. But you can follow us at Listics AFL on Twitter. Otherwise, just look up Listics AFL podcast. And you'll find us on all good podcasting platforms. Thanks again, Draft Doctors. And yeah, look forward to hearing from you all soon. Bye.
It's unbelievable how much we underrate Clayton Oliver. Well, maybe we don't underrate him, but the dude's done nothing since coming to the league but just tear it up. I think I was doing a stat the other day, and it was like over the last 3 seasons, only 2 players have finished in the top 10 total points in Supercoach. For the last 3 years, and that's Dangerfield and Clayton Oliver, and you know, you're getting him in the second round basically everywhere. So it's look, it's a hell of a pick. He's a hell of a player. I will say, I wonder what's going to happen if that Melbourne team really stacks up with mids and everyone stays fit. Love the pick though. Certainly happy to have him in my team. MJ from the coaches panel, one of our longtime friends. Done a bit of cross collaboration stuff before. He's been on this show before. You certainly heard him. You know the show at the coaches panel on the Twitter. Great stuff. The boys have a lot of fun. Good banter. They talk all formats of the game. So certainly please check out MJ and the guys over at the coaches panel. Let's hear who he says.
Hello, it's MJ from the coaches panel. I hope you're well. The player I want to look at for the BNF show is the former Melbourne captain Jack Viney. It was just a handful of seasons ago that he had his best ever fantasy year. A 101 in Dream Team and Fantasy and a 96.4 in Supercoach. Since then, let's be honest, he's not really got close to those numbers, but everything's looking good at this stage. In the first of the 2 Marsh preseason matches, he got a 110 in Dream Team and Fantasy, 120 in Supercoach. That was from 25 touches, 9 tackles, and 15 contested possessions. Then against the Hawks just the other day, he ended up wrapping himself up pretty nicely with 23 of the possessions were contested, 5 tackles, and a monster 133 in Supercoach and 114 in Dream Team and Fantasy. In the preseason, it's all about the role and the points don't matter, and he has certainly got the role as one of the key leaders in this Melbourne midfield. The reason I think Jack Viney's relevant, the reason I want to highlight him, is because where he's going on average in drafts is criminal and a steal. At the Draft Doctor's mock simulator, his ADP is 162. Gosh, that's the 16th, 17th round, depending on the size of league you've got. While over at Ultimate Footy, it's a little bit better, but it's a 127. Still, in a 10-team league based off an Ultimate Footy draft, that's the 13th round. It's been years since we've been able to get Viney at this possible position. The thing about Viney is he actually doesn't have to go back to the 2016 numbers of the 101 in Dream Team and Fantasy and the 96 in Supercoach. Yep, everything's looking promising in the Marsh so far, but he doesn't have to go that because the scoring seasons of 2017 and 2018 show that he's around that 90 to 92 marker sort of player across all formats, and yet his average point is in the low 80s across the formats. So even if he doesn't spike up to that 100 marker, he's still got about 10 points of growth on what he's shown he can do consistently over 3 or 4 years. I really like Jack Viney. I think he's value because at the moment, you're getting him in the early teens part of your draft, but he's really got the potential to be a really strong early contributor that can push the mid to high 90s if everything goes his way. He's not a tagger. He's not going to get tagged. He's looking like he's got something to prove. No longer the captain, but still going to be a leader for that football club. For me, I think he's just fantastic value at where he's currently going in drafts and could really set you up for success in 2020. However, I know there's one member on the Draft Doctors podcast that will not touch him, and that is Doss, because, mate, he's over 21. He's just too old for you.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, actually, having, you know, two Melbourne players lined up as BNF picks in a row. Clayton Oliver obviously going at the pointy end of drafts, and Jack Viney, you know, the middle to late rounds. And I love the pick. He's had a preseason. We know what a difference that makes. So certainly a massive massive upside for Jack Viney. Love the pick. Certainly happy to have him in my team. I'm pretty sure I've got him places. Interesting to see where. Okay. Bit of a Supercoach flavor now from the Dr. Supercoach podcast. We've got Chizo. He's done the show before. Love the boys' work. A lot of fun always. You can follow Chizo at Chizo underscore Dr. SC on the Twitters. Definitely check out their show if you're a Supercoach player. It's good stuff. And let's hear who Chizo reckons is a league winner for you in 2020.
Welcome back to the Draft Doctors. You're on once again with Chizo. I just want to thank you boys for letting me come back on, but you're probably going to be regretting it in just a moment because I'm talking about one of my boys. I've been on the bandwagon since we picked him up with pick 5. It's Darcy Parrish, an elite contested midfielder as a junior who had the ability to impact the scoreboard. However, he just hasn't been able to transition that into the AFL. You know, he hasn't been a huge ball winner in the AFL, and he's slightly undersized if you compare him to the likes of, say, the big midfielders and like the Bont and the Cripps and the Fife and those kind of players. And it's also, you know, important to know that he's had those tank issues for a long period of time. So coming into the AFL, we knew he had, a smaller tank than a lot of people. I would have thought by now that he would have built it up to a higher level. In 2019, only an average of 89 minutes per game. If you compare that to someone in his draft class in Clayton Oliver, who averaged 101 minutes per game, there's a clear, tank restriction that we do have to recognize. He's also been pretty bad by foot. And so his kicking efficiency kind of, you know, is hard to differentiate him from the likes of Dylan Shiel and Zach Merritt, who all seem to suffer a little bit by foot. So a little bit of a samesy kind of feel in that respect. And the thing is, we've never seen him play 22, whether it be a little injury or getting dropped by Woosha. He's just not been you know, a player that gets every single game of the year. And, you know, that's a little bit in part for the fact that they're playing him in different roles than what we, you know, I probably and Essendon fans probably think long-term he's going to become into that full-time midfielder. But that's mainly because he's got competition for midfield roles. We've got so many one-dimensional midfielders in there that, you know, he's just forced to play other roles. And so that's, you know, that's a bunch of negatives that are against him. We've never seen him in the role that we expect. Going into 2020, if you're drafting him, you are kind of projecting that he is now going to be that, you know, a designated centre bounce midfielder. If he's got a small tank, as an Essendon you know, fan, I would want to see him coming off the bench and being a centre bounce midfielder, giving that effort and then coming off if that's what has to be, because playing as a half forward, it hasn't really impacted our forward line all that much, and it's not really letting him reach his full potential. In terms of draft, you know, he actually has some really good value. Only he and Heppel were ranked above average for contested possessions, again showing through with that contested part of his game. And he also had the best differential of any player in the competition for, you know, increasing the chances of a centre clearance at a centre bounce. So even though he was only in 24% of centre bounces in 2019, when he was there, he was one of the best chances for Essendon to get a clearance. So definitely one to consider in 2020 if you see that he's going to get more centre bounce time and he's going to get more time as a full-time mid. It's totally up to you guys to what you think. I think that he won't... You're going to have to pick him early in a single-season draft because there's someone that, you know, he's been talked about a lot and you're going to have to jump on him pretty soon. But, you know, I'm thinking that's potentially anywhere between rounds 5 to 10. And if you can get him at, say, maybe an F2, F3 is probably around the mark. F3 is probably where I'd be trying to get him at and seeing if I can get him later than that. But there's going to be a Dons player, a Dons supporter like me that's going to go early. So keep an eye out for Darcy Parrish. He's my boy. I think 2020 is the year he becomes a significantly more valuable player in draft formats.
Yeah, look, he's one of my boys this year, so I can't hate it, man. I've got to be with you. I've ranked him very aggressively myself this year. I was loving life in the first Marsh game where Parrish was just pure mid. Second game, not so much. Not so much. Took a few goals to get to the score. Look, it's all about the role, isn't it, as Chizo said. So if he gets that role, you've got a bargain. If he doesn't, hopefully his floor is good enough that it doesn't kill you anyway. So certainly has massive upside. There's a lot of guys in that, in the mid-forward range, in the mid-forward status who are certainly going to pop and some aren't. So it'll be really interesting to see at the end of the season who does and who doesn't. Our last guest for this evening, if you're on the Twitters, you certainly know him. He's a great man. He's been around a long time on the Jock Reynolds podcast. Now, that's, of course, Lek Dog. And yeah, I actually met him one time. He was wearing a Carlton jumper, so that was a bit horrendous, but he's a good dude. Absolutely check him out on the Twitters at LekDogSC. And let's hear who he's going to wrap it up with.
G'day, Draft Doctors. LekDog here from the Jock Reynolds Supercoach Podcast, jockreynolds.com.au. I've done a few drafts to date, boys. I've used the draft tool available on draftdoctors.com.au many times to prepare for those drafts, and obviously, I did the Fox Footy live draft with a couple of the boys the other week. And in my experience so far, I've found the man to really shape the drafts has been Scott Lysette. I think it's really interesting that Scott Lysette, for me, has been shaping these drafts because he's, you know, he's the fifth, currently the going into the season, he's probably the fifth ranked ruck across a fair few people's boards. Brody Grundy, Max Gorn go in the first round. Todd Goldstein, Rowan Marshall seem to be going in the subsequent couple of rounds after that. But when someone selects Scott Lysette at 550k, if you're playing the salary game, obviously he was dropped a couple of times, or dropped last year by Ken Hinckley, the greatest coach in the AFL, who says they're going to win a premiership this year. He came back like a house on fire for Supercoach. He finished 2019 with a 111, a 180, a 165, 109, 86, 85, 111, dropped for three games, and then a 129. When he's the number one ruck, he tends to be a beast. And why he seems to be shaping the drafts that I've been a part of is because he really creates a domino effect. When he goes, the first four we're kind of expecting to go. When he goes, particularly if he's going early in one of those earlier rounds, I've actually seen him in the end of a round two, which is crazy, but round three, round four, round five, when he's going in these rounds, there seems to be a domino effect where immediately after Jared Witz, Riley O'Brien, Stephen Martin, Big Boy in some occasions, Nick Natanui to a lesser extent, but these guys all seem to drop pretty quickly. Everyone seems to be desperate to get a ruckman in. But I think there's value in waiting and punting the rucks if you're not going to get one of those top two, especially. A Stephen Martin, while he tends to go early if Scott Lysette goes. If Scott Lysette doesn't go, Stephen Martin's available late in drafts. Nick Natanui is available late in drafts. Sam Jacobs, Toby Nank-Irvis are available late in drafts. And then even for super, super deep leagues, you've got guys like Jonathan Segler and Tim English, who we think is going to pop this year. Paddy, there's a whole raft of guys. But I just find it really interesting, and I think he shapes the drafts, is Scott Lysette, because I'm happy, very happy, having Scott Lysette as my ruckman. I think he's capable of going 110 plus in Supercoach this year. But I also think if he doesn't go early, he's available in those mid rounds, and subsequently all the other ruckmen are available in the late rounds. But in the drafts I've been doing, if he goes sort of early in the first few rounds, suddenly bang, 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 all the ruckmen are gone. It sets you up. It leaves you, if you're punting rucks, to stock up on mids. It leaves you to stock up on backmen, if that's what you want to do. It leaves you to grab a couple of those really good forwards. But it really leaves a gap, because the gap between what Scott Lysette has actually delivered and Riley O'Brien, Stephen Martin, Nick Natanui, if he's fit, Tim English, with what we think he'll produce, Sam Jacobs when he's playing, it's not that far. I think he's getting overvalued, and he's creating a trickle effect that's affecting the rest of drafts. I've probably rambled here too much. I punt rucks every time, so if you're drafting with me, it's not going to affect me, but it's really interesting. In some drafts, I've been able to pick up, as a result of Scott Lysette going late, I've been able to pick up, like, Stephen Martin really late, but as a result of him going early, I've had to resort to, like, all right, I'll take Toby Nankervis and hope for the best. So that's why, in a roundabout way, I think that Scott Lysette is the shaper of drafts in 2020.
Wow, this is straight from the Draft Doctor's playbook. Absolutely love the, well, it's not really a player there, is it? It's more of a philosophy. So absolutely love that. I think we did a draft. We're in the Fox Sun, whatever you want to call it, draft, and Leck, myself, and Jono just all punted rucks and stacked mids. And yeah, we do see it where Scott Lysette is really the cutoff between waiting till the very end of your draft. That's the line. So if rucks are sliding in your draft, which does happen in some leagues, either Lysette's going to, you know, be the cutoff and you're going to wait till the end of the draft, or rucks are going to slip a little bit and he might be a great target because he certainly has massive upside. So look, the philosophy's sound. It's worked over the years. Obviously, that's league size dependent. If you're obviously in a two ruck league, you can't go punting rucks. Or if you're in, say, a 14-16 team league, you can't just go around punting rucks everywhere. Different squad sizes, all that sort of thing. So please take that into account. But look, the philosophy sound, and I got to love the pick. It's a solid pick. So get around that. And certainly, please, we want to say a massive, massive thank you to everyone who sent in their pieces and gave their time to us. We absolutely love it. It's the fantasy footy community is a great community. Even when we disagree, there hasn't been any hate, I don't think, yet. So it's there's a lot of love. Really want to say massive thanks, of course, again to everyone. Please support their shows. Even if you give them a try, you'll find one, I'm sure, that's at least your cup of tea. If you don't like it, hey, that's how it is. But certainly worth giving a crack to all the boys podcasts. Check out all their work. Selby puts out the Moreira's Magic Guide. proceeds go to charity. I wish I was that generous, but when you're the poorest man in fantasy football, you cannot afford to do those things. Anyway, a few of our boys have managed to scrape together 5 minutes to record who they think is going to be the fantasy best and fairest for the year. Let's kick it off with everyone's favorite draft doctor. You love it when he's on the pod. It's the potato bake himself, the third McLaughlin, Cam.
G'day guys, this is Cam McLaughlin here, and it is an absolute honour to get the call up to participate in the best and fairest pod, because I'm considered by most as the worst and most biased fantasy football guy going around. So it was a little surprise, and I'm sure it's only because someone actually dropped out. Anyway, looking at who I think will be a game changer for your draft side this year, I think I always look to those that can provide that late speculative pick. And I think there's a mix of skill and opportunity with this one, and that's Jackson Haitley. Giants lost Deledio and Adam Tomlinson from their side last year. He was going to get an opportunity this year to play some minutes, but now that Tim Taranto has gone until the back half of the year, I think we can increase what we think he can produce. In the March series games, he managed 85 from 76% time on ground, and then a juicy 94 from 72% time on ground. And the most important thing about those scores is actually how he built them, with a great mix of contested possessions accounting for roughly 50% of his total possessions, a decent tally of marks, an impressive kick-to-handball ratio, and tackles, proving that he isn't at all a one-trick pony and can score on the inside or the outside. GWS are second pretty much only to the Pies when it comes to their total fantasy scoring output, so put together a guy who can build a score in many ways in a team that historically score very, very well, and you've got a great option for a late draft specky. And even better, he is a late draft specky. At the time of recording, his ADP on the mock draft site is actually only 292. Happy drafting.
Well, there you go. It's bad news for old Haitley up at the GWS. No, look, I think it's a really good pick. Well, the discussions are out when Tim Taranto got injured as to who was going to benefit. I 100% think it's Haitley. Obviously, Cornelio at the top of your draft should be good as well. But yeah, look, he's going at the arse end of drafts, undrafted in a lot of leagues. So he's certainly a quality pickup. Cam makes a lot of good points. My partner in crime, the man we started this show with so many years ago, back when we were fresh-faced, probably not about to turn 40, it was just the two of us. We didn't know what the hell was going on. The show was born out of the Franks and RSL over a few skooies. Jono, who do you think is the fantasy best and fairest in 2020?
G'day, it's Jono here from the Draft Doctors, and my fantasy BNF for 2020 is none other than Jacob Hopper. Why is Jacob Hopper going to help you win your league in 2020? Well, put it this way, there's plenty of opportunity for him to be playing inside mid at the GWS. We know there's no Tim Taranto, he's out for 4 to 5 months. Callum Ward's still about another month away coming back from his ACL, and he might not even slot straight back into that midfield, so he could spend a little bit more time up forward as he gets match fitness into him. Last year we saw Jacob Hopper average 95.8 Super Coach and 93.6 AFL Fantasy points. That's a pretty good average for a guy who was probably third or fourth string behind your Callies, your Tarantos and your Cornelios last year, so not too bad at all, where he averaged 26 possessions and 4 tackles a game. And the good thing about Hopper is he's got about a 1-to-1 kick-to-handball ratio, averaging the 13 possession kicks and handballs there. So, look, if he can add a few more kicks to his game and take a few more handballs out, then obviously that average is going to go up. But as that inside mid, he needs the handballs to extract the ball to the outside runners. We're also looking at a bit of a fifth-year breakout for Hopper. He's been progressing pretty nicely in his career so far. So we saw last year Taranto got the opportunity when Callie went down, and this year it could be Jacob Hopper's turn to get the big bump and score big for our fantasy teams. He does have a solid floor. He's averaging his floor's around the 85 mark, but you know it's not too bad for a midfielder who was probably an M7 last year. But if you're looking for him to be that M4, M3 in your drafts, then he's certainly going to need be averaging around that 95 plus for you. But that's something I can certainly see. He has now 5 years into the system, so it's time for him to step up. And if you can average those 30 possessions each week, it's an extra couple of kicks and handballs each game, then the 100 average is certainly on the cards there for Jacob Hopper. And that's why I think he is going to be a fantasy BNF for 2020.
Oh, that's very original, isn't it? Just stacking up on Archie's picks. Well, look, it must be a good pick if a couple of boys have the same player, obviously similar thoughts. And look, I can't hate it. Can't hate it at all. So we're going to wrap it up with my fantasy best and fairest. And, oh, sorry, just quickly, Dossie didn't have time to record it, but as you'll have seen with the Hugh McCluggage video, if you haven't seen the Hugh McCluggage video, please drop everything. Go to YouTube, type in the Draft Doctors and find the Hugh McCluggage video. I think we've pinned it to the socials on the Twitter and Facebook, and it's probably on Instagram as well. Absolutely check it out. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And make sure you wait till the end. Dossie put a hell of a lot of time into this. I think Hef's in it as well. And the boys do some great work. Very, very funny. Please go check out that video. It's absolutely worth 5 minutes. But I absolutely agree. Hugh McCluggage could push into the elite category this year. Western Victorian boy, of course, the best part of this country. But my pick is another Western Victorian boy, Hugh McCluggage's teammate, drafted the same year. And he was actually tracking better as from a fantasy production standpoint up until last season than Hugh McCluggage. And of course, I'm talking about midfielder Jared Berry from the Brisbane Lions. I think he's about to sort of push into that upper 90 to 100 range. Like I mentioned, he was tracking better, and then last preseason was struck down with the glandulars. That's not a good thing, all right? It's going to sap people. We've seen Christian Salem actually get it this year. No coronavirus, thankfully, but the glandulars can knock you around quite a bit. Berry still managed to put out a good season, despite not being an amazing one. It was still an upgrade, average to 79 Dream Team and 85 Super Coach. I just like his game. He's got everything. He can win the ball. He can tackle. He can take marks. Contest a ball, not an issue. The dude's 193 centimeters. He's a big man. He's an elite runner. So he's everything you want. The draft pedigree is there. And I'm just getting him everywhere. I just find myself drawn to him at the tail end of every draft. He's really going late. I think he's going at pick 179 on the AFL Fantasy site. On our mock simulator, he's going at 185 in Dream Team. Supercoach is going a bit higher at 146. We know the mids dry up a bit quicker in the Supercoach format. That's the 15th round, though, in a 10-team league. Like, he's like at the back end of your draft. I really think it's a great pick. Certainly not going to kill you if things go sour. And look, you didn't need those mids. So I really think you can push into that high 90s range. So I'm talking a big increase of at least 15 points in AFL Fantasy. But at the end of the day, that's only a couple marks and a couple of kicks. So I really like Jared Berry. I think Brisbane obviously a team on the rise. So I certainly look for him to be a big improver. And one of the interesting things is that often the fantasy best and fairest, the guy is the league mate, the league winner, isn't someone who's really high on the draft radar because it takes an injury or something to get there. Like Scott Lysette goes down. It's Latham season sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying there. Like we saw with Rowan Marshall last year, although he was a sleeper pick and then just got the primo ruck roll and still had the forward status, so that's how it was. Of course, thanks to everyone again for doing their time and coming on the show. Very thankful. We love all the contributors, all the fantasy footy content out there. It makes us all tick. I really hope the season gets underway soon because I'm going stir crazy creating all this content without any results. Although the good part is if there's no games, hey, we can't be wrong. And, well, maybe there'd be no You Suck show in 2021, but that's all good. Thanks for checking us out, guys. Make sure you hit the ratings and review buttons. Give us a like, give us a review on the iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. We're year round every week. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.